Oh, I used to have that on the old mix early in the morning at around 4:30 in the morning as I dredged my way across Hamilton Mountain to Maple Leaf. I used to work for Maple Leaf. Nothing wrong with that. I just my headphones, and I used to get up really early to go work there. A lot of fun. Anyway, that plan won't give up. I used to have in my head all the time. Won't give up. Steel City Music, Gunner here. And as I said earlier, previous hour, Ladybird Sanctuary is having an event, and it's to celebrate their 10-year anniversary, and it's Help Build the Farm, a virtual concert event. And that's happening Tuesday, December 1st. And you can find out more information by hitting up their website. And of course, if you follow them on Facebook, please do. The event is listed there. And I've also moved that over to, I'm putting on my Steel City page as well in group. So if you're there, you can read about it. Okay, so, but here's the deal. They're coming into their 10-year anniversary. They want to have a big show, but of course they can't do that because of, well, you know, the pandemic. So they're doing the whole virtual thing. Now, here is the general show. Access will be available to everyone for the first part of their show featuring, check this out, Chris Murphy from Sloan, Joel Plaskett, Whitehorse, Jill Barber, Shakira Saida, Danny Michelle, Jeremy Fisher. I love Danny Michelle and Jeremy Fisher, by the way. Nuella Charles, Hamilton's own Tara Lightfoot, Else Lagans, Sarah McDougall, and Ivan Coyote and the Ladybirds. So it's going to be a lot of fun if you followed them and their careers, that sort of thing. And it, I don't know, man. It's going to be great. Now, not only that, but you get a VIP backstage show, which features... this is what networking and friendships are all about in the Canadian music industry. Featuring Bryan Adams, Sarah McLachlan, who's always been a strong supporter for animal rights, that sort of thing. Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies, Jim Cuddy, and the hilariously talented and funny Jan Harden. She just cracks me up. I love that woman. I seen her years ago. Tom Wilson was opening for her acoustically, and I had to go and sell merch for the old fella, and we were set up, and I walked backstage, and, you know, being from Hamilton, you know, you can trade barbs with the best of them, right? Because you're just used to being, you know, crapped on, joking with blah, 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 blah. Jan Arden, don't tangle with her. She's funny. She can go. I watched her make some shots at Tom Wilson. Couldn't stop laughing. You know, hilarious. So there you go. Anyway, if you sign up to the Ladybird monthly donor member through their website, you'll be sent a link in advance for the VIP portion of the show. So sign up. Go to the Ladybird site. For details to become a monthly donor member, of course, go to the Ladybird animalsanctuary.com. All right? And it's a nice thing to do to give back in society a little bit. And I don't know, sometimes my mind and my heart wanders when it comes to being a better person. And you know, when I go through, I'm at that stage now where it's kind of like, I like to be a better person and my eyes are a little bit clearer on everything in this world. And you see people suffering and animals suffering, like, you know what? I got to do something, right? I just can't just let other people do stuff. So I have kind of gotten to that point in my life now. So I like buying stuff from Ladybird Sanctuary. I got introduced to them years ago at This Ain't Hollywood when they were doing their benefits there with Lisa Wynn, Melissa McClelland, and local artists would be performing. And they had their merch table set up and they had like t-shirts and everything. So, you know, you go over, you go, okay, I'll buy this, you know, that sort of thing, or I'll make a donation. But they were making hot sauce. And I was like, oh, really? Hot sauce. So I got it and I went, you know, it's probably just, you know, whatever. It only cost me $20, I think. So I used it. It was hot. It was flavorful, but it was hot. I was like, you know, you're like going, yeah, whatever. Right. Yeah. Remember, this is all well before the spicy wings eating contests that people have and everyone gets into the whole hot sauce craze over the last couple of years. This was before that. And I was like, oh, I may have besmirched the name of Ladybird hot sauce here, but no, it was really good too. So anyway, go to their website, check things out. And if you want to be a part of all of this, they'll give you all the information. And I am going to set up some interviews with the folks there. And maybe, I don't know, I'll send out some emails to the people or peeps for some of the other bigger artists, see if I can get them on the blower, that sort of thing. You know, I have no problem interviewing Bryan Adams at all. or Ed Robertson or any of these people, you know. Be kind of fun, actually. You know, I just have a feeling that I would hit it off with Bryan Adams just with the jokes. Okay, so in this set, you're going to hear some Tin Star, or should say some Danny Michelle, Jill Barber, Sloan, and some White Horse. But starting things off, very, very cool dude. You know him, you love him, out of Eastern Canada. Used to be in the Frightened Rabbits and then became a solo artist. And, you know, you wave the old patriot flag for him. Here's some Joel Plaskett.
Wait it out or pack it in. Take him on or let him win. Any way you light it, you get burned. Fill your cup and dim the lights. Save your tears and wave your eyes. Paint it on the stripes you never burn.
Tell me now, baby, is it like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull. Cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my soul. At night I wake up and the sheets are soaking wet, and there's a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire.
Did he go? Love, love, love. locked arms and vowed to keep each other from harm. I had a dream that I stole their clips. They ran out of bullets and their guns went click, click.
I didn't mention this, didn't tease this earlier, but I might as well do the setup right now. The other day, I noticed there's a new website, hamiltonindiemusic.com, and I was like, wait a minute, wasn't this around before, and it disappeared, and it's back? And then I started retweeting their stuff over the last couple of days, trying to drive people to the website. And it's all about music, supporting the clubs, supporting the Hamilton musicians, the whole nine yards. I'm like, well, that's cool by me. And I just did a little reading on it. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. They were around since 2006 and 7. Wow, that's a long time. So I reached out, sent them a DM on the old Twitter and said, hey, you know, I do this thing called Steel City Music. I have my own site, radio show, blah, blah, blah. Do you have time to have a chat about your website, starting it up again and all the other stuff? And it was like right away, absolutely. They responded right away. So I reached out to a dude named Max Alexander, who is the proprietor, the owner, the creator. And he was in some Hamilton bands, but during the interview, he's like, oh, you wouldn't know them, blah, blah, blah. There's two things to this interview. The version you're going to hear is the one that we did after the other interview, which was absolutely brilliant. And I can't even describe how good it was because the stupid software that I'm using crashed and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So many excuses. But here's Max Alexander in our chat from HamiltonIndieMusic.com. Hey, it's Steel City Music, take two. Gunnar Smith here, sitting here crying the blues of software on his computer. Because, I just did a 15 minutes of just pure educational, riveting interview with Max Alexander from Hamilton Indie Music. It was great, and the software screwed up, and now I have to ask him the same questions, but try to get that same momentum back about his new website, well, old website, and the history of it all. I don't think we can recreate it, but we're going to try. Max, is this you?
It is me, yes.
On the line with me right now is Max Alexander. He is the creator of Hamilton Indie Music, a site that came about around the 2006 era. And it soldiered on over time. It got shut down. He didn't have enough time to keep redoing things with the site. But with technology and in learning a skill set of becoming a web programmer, he's finally got the site back up to what he initially envisioned that he always wanted back in the day. He is also a musician out of Hamilton who had some band members in Stony Creek area. What were the name of the bands, by the way, again? Run those bands' names by me again.
The better ones, the better one was Flinch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flinch.
And anything before that, we're going way back.
You're going way back. Thank you for doing part two or the retake of this interview, Max. Sorry about that.
No problem at all.
But of course, as we were chatting, we were talking about technology and the glitches that happened. It's so funny that it happened to me as you were talking about the website. But I wanted to touch upon about the name of the site, and something that you can reiterate is that it's called Hamilton Indie Music. And I asked you, what is it, just going to be indie music or singer songwriter, or will it actually expand to other genres of music?
Yeah, and I had this question before, and it may seem, when you go to the site, it may seem like it's more tuned toward a specific genre, but I want everyone to know that it's not. It's basically anybody out there that's creating music that wants to put their music out is welcome to become part of Hamilton Indie Music and promote their music. That's what it's about. It's about anybody who's trying to get their music out there and maybe get more streams, for example, on their music. Because at this time, with COVID, it's crazy.
Right.
Musicians can't perform. And I mean, professional musicians such as myself, who had shows already booked, you can't play. In other words, you lost your income. And to me, if this is going to help somewhat, even like a fraction, for them to get their plays and you know, streams and all that stuff, then it's something that wouldn't have been possible otherwise.
Right. It's a, I think it's a very noble gesture on your part, but you've been doing this for some time now, off and on. But now that we get into the social media angle of the website, how are you going to drive people to the website using social media? Just because there's so much out there, like what is a little different about Hamilton Indie than some of the other websites that are out there right now?
Hamilton Indie, this version of Hamilton Indie, is like what I was telling you before, is I was trying to build almost like a community,
mm-hmm.
like any other social. I want Hamilton Indie to be its own social media where musicians could go there and register. And right now they have the functionality where they can go and register, create their own profile. They can hit, you know, provide their own banners and a bunch of other functionality that's on the site, so they can create their own page within Hamilton Indie Music.
So it just becomes its own entity, its own engine, if you will, of what's
right.
going on in Hamilton. Yeah.
Yeah. And my goal is for everyone to, like, whoever registers, to contribute to the site just by putting their own stuff there, their own music, their own profiles, and chatting with people and basically creating our own social media platform.
These are all great and noble efforts on your part. I think we need more of that going on within the community to support one another. I think it's very important. How is the reaction coming as far from the clubs? Because some of the clubs are still doing some stuff. Some are not.
Yeah.
Is everyone aware of your website in that respect yet? Just yet?
They're not aware yet, I don't think. Right now, a lot of the content that's been placed there has been placed there from previous registrants.
Right.
So they've already registered prior. So I'm using their information to get the site up and going. But I definitely want to make sure that we know about which avenues or which venues are open, what they can do during this time to support any music. And the CASPA, they are trying to raise some money to keep, you know, their venue afloat, to have people
right.
go there and perform and do what they need to do. So I added their information to the site, and you can click on it and donate. And, I mean, I think it's a great thing. And if I can do that for other venues, I'll definitely do that. That's what the site's for. It's to support everybody.
Right.
The whole circle of what creates the ability for people to perform and get their music out there is the main objective of the site.
You're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunnar, and my guest right now is Max Alexander. He's the proprietor of Hamilton Indie Music. It's found hamiltonindiemusic.com. Go to the site. It was released last week, about the third week of October, I believe, somewhere around that timeline. Now that so let's just say we get out of 2020 alive, you and I and the rest of society. And we're starting to get some clicks. We're starting to get some more traffic to Hamilton Indie Music. At some point, you're gonna are you envisioning making some money off of this site just to keep it afloat?
At this point, I'm not looking at it that way.
No,
I'm just trying to get the word out and support. I mean, people that musicians right now, if I can just generate more traffic to the site and get people to stream music that they probably have never heard before.
Right.
And just, I mean, you're not really, for a listener, you're not really doing much. You're just clicking a link and listening to music, but
yeah.
every stream is going to contribute to that artist.
Yeah. The reason why I brought that question up is because at some point, you're putting in so many hours to keep the site relevant and putting up fresh content, and you're also relying on musicians to join up and putting their content up, and so there's always mm-hmm. something new and fresh for people to look at, like, you know, here's this happening at the CASBA, here's this happening at Absinthe Hamilton, or what other venue or what other band. And at some mm-hmm. point, if there's that much traffic coming, you know, simply selling a banner ad to another business would help keep you, would give you the ability to help pay for the bandwidth. That's why I was asking, at what point do you think you're going to get to that situation?
That's a tough question, because I really don't know. I mean, I'm going to try and dedicate as much time and my own finances to the project and then see where it goes. I mean, if a lot of people are showing interest and I can generate some sort of income to pay for the resources that I'm purchasing myself, then yeah, that'd be great. But the initial thing is just basically to get it going. Hopefully it'll have a good response and people enjoy being there, and the artists are going to benefit from whatever is happening.
Right,
later on, when we get out of COVID and all this other stuff, then we're gonna get into more performances, and there's going to be more activity and more things to cover. And who knows? I mean, later on down the road, if there's somebody that wants to help out and donate some time and things like that, because right now there is no income from the site, and I'm not really looking at getting income from the site because that wasn't the objective, but if it goes into something like that, then I may have to consider doing it full time. But until then, it's hard to answer.
I don't know, Max. The thought of you doing this full time is kind of a nice thought. that it does become successful and that it gets to that point where you do have to do this full time. There is an income coming in, and you know, and it's something that you enjoy, right? Because it just goes hand in hand with the being a musician and promoting yourself and promoting others of where you're coming from. It sounds like a good deal to me, to be honest.
That would be like a dream come true. I mean, what musician doesn't want to be doing something in relation to music? I mean, that's a dream come true if you can do it. Hi, this is Max Alexander. Check out my new website at hamiltonindiemusic.com.
reach out to HamiltonIndieMusic.com if you want to do any writing reviews of music, that sort of thing, or if you're in a band as well. The more the merrier in this Hamilton music community. We need it, and we need it now more than ever. People promoting and pushing and trying to keep everyone's careers or budding careers or live venues, i.e. the Casbah, Dora's Middle Taco Club, Pub, Absinthe Hamilton, all the smaller pubs and everything are, you know, everyone's going through a tough time with the live music or just getting people in the door. So anyway, go to HamiltonIndieMusic.com if you want to write about music or anything like that, or submit your music, please do. Contact Max. Now, I said earlier on in the show, I have an interview with Anya Wassenberg. Now, I reached out to everybody, as I said a couple hours ago. I'm always putting out calls. Hey, if you got an event going on in music, blah, 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 blah. Come send me your stuff if you want to have a chat about it, that sort of thing, to help promote you, especially if you have a show coming up. And she was one of the ones that over the last week, there's like just piles of them coming in, and I responded to her. And it was a nice conversation to have, because sometimes, I mean, if you listen to the show, past interviews that I do everything from different styles of music and age groups and different, different styles, but also I try to do like a balance, right? Because you run through that. You're going, well, you know, Smith, you're not interviewing enough women. Smith, you're not interviewing enough hip hop artists. Smith, you're not doing enough country. Country is another one that I got to start getting my ass on, because there's a lot of country musicians that are great that we should know about. So that's just my thing. That's my own anxiety of like, hey, are you doing enough for everybody? And maybe that's what my therapist is probably telling me. You should really pull back on trying to help absolutely everyone, and don't try to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Anyway, so she's one of the ones that responded to me, and she sent me some of her music, and she had her EPK together, and I was like, oh, so I was just going through it. And then I was kind of taken back during the conversation, because she had everything out in the open about her life and who she was, and she wasn't really guarded about saying the genesis of how she got into music. Because some of us will say, well, I got into this for these reasons, blah, 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 but there's other reasons. She was, hey, I got into it for these reasons. I loved it, and someone else got me out of it, and I got back into it. So here's our chat on Steel City Music. Check it out. Hey, my next guest on the show reached out to me after seeing my big call out. Hey, I'm wanting to know what musicians are doing of different styles around Hamilton in the Greater Toronto area, and well, I guess right across Canada. I always do that. She was one of them that responded to me recently and sent in some of her stuff. She just put a release called "Looking for Heaven's Ghost" back in July 4th. Now that's in the middle of COVID, so you know, I don't know what that means, but it's in the middle of a pandemic. Someone is releasing music and still moving on, just soldiering on, I guess would be the term to use. Welcome to the show, Anya Mia. Is that how I'm supposed to call you, Anya Mia? Is that your stage name, or is it Anya Wassenberg?
Anya Wassenberg is my name.
Yeah.
But I'm also a writer. So okay. If you were actually to Google under that name, you would find like a ton of writing about all sorts of different things. So Anya Mia is actually, my middle name is Maria, and in my family, that's what the nickname I went by. Okay. Anya Mia.
All right. So you're a writer as well then.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that's published that we should know about?
Well, that's how I make a living actually. So right. I work for a bunch of different places, freelance. I also teach writing courses.
Okay. All right then. Well, it's good that we had a little bit of a backgrounder. So tell me how all of this started for you on your musical journey. In some of the stuff that you sent me, I was reading that you started out at grade 10 learning the flute. I'm surprised it wasn't the recorder. A lot of us had to do the recorder. And that was so painful for me as a child in some. But you end up doing at the Royal Conservatory at grade 10 level, starting out as a flute and then moving into as a singer-songwriter and learning the guitar. Tell us about that experience and how you've progressed since then.
Sure. Well, yeah, as a kid, I mean, I started out in school playing the flute, you know, because back in the day, all the schools had instrumental music. right? So I started out with the flute, and then I took private lessons later on. And I did, as I said, as you mentioned, I did eventually get my Royal Conservatory grade 10 in flute. And I also played the guitar, and I wrote some songs and that. And then my mistake was, I think, well, I had, my parents were like so many parents, you know, that music was not a real profession or anything that you should aspire
to. Well, that happened.
You know, they loved music, but it wasn't supposed to be something you were actually doing, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know. A lot of us do.
And also, I have to say, my first ex-husband was a musician, and he was very discouraging.
Oh, my God.
There was no room for two musicians in the same family. So
the ego wasn't there. The ego was there, was it?
Yeah. And I mean, my ego wasn't there. So I did drop it. I dropped the whole thing for about 30 years.
Really? So that long?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And so I started again when I joined a choir. It was a public art project kind of thing in Toronto, actually. But when you're singing in a choir, I was sort of belting it out because just to hear yourself over everybody else. And I thought, you know, I can sing in tune and I can, you know, so maybe I start singing again, which I had never really done seriously. Again, I was... didn't have enough confidence in myself, I will say, and I was around some discouraging people. So I sort of put it all off and then took it up again, like I said, about 30 years later. I just got back into the flute and playing keyboard, actually, during the COVID break, because I was focusing on singing and songwriting. Now, the thing is, my release was all ready to go in the middle of March, of course, when the pandemic happened, so I put it off till July. We've got things are opening up a little bit, and I'm hoping to get the word out at least somewhat.
Right. How did you meet up with the people that helped you record this? You actually ended up in Blue Tilt Studios here in Hamilton. Yeah. That's Dan Zakovic's studio. How did you meet up with him?
I met all the musicians and Dan at a place in Hess Village called The Mask.
Okay.
Back in the days when we had such things, they had a great Sunday blues jam.
Right.
And I used to go hang out there on Sundays and just met all the musicians there, all the ones that I recorded with.
Okay, so it was
as Dan, because he lives just down the street, actually.
Well, there you go. So you had like a built-in band right there, and then away you go. So you kind of lucked out then.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I like the idea. I mean, we recorded the music live off the floor, kind of a thing, and then added the vocals. But that's what I kind of like, is that jam feel, you know what I mean? That real sort of organic feel of musicians who know each other and play together. I mean, not to say that you can't get a good recording with, you know, really professional musicians or whatever who don't know each other, but that would be my preference always.
Okay, so you released this in July.
Right.
Now, what are your plans now? Because we're ending 2020 pretty soon. Thank God, I know, because this is a pre-recorded show. And as I look out the window right now, it's gray and it's snowing, and it's October 30th.
It's snowing.
So I, others, want 2020 to be done. But what is your plans for rounding out 2020 and going into 2021?
I recorded with, there was four-piece band and me. So to be more realistic moving forward in this environment, I'm rehearsing with a trio. Smaller stages and being able to space apart. So we're looking for, I'm talking to a couple of places about doing sort of our first gig as a trio. On the 14th, me and the guitar player, Toshihiro Otani, we're going to be playing a duo gig, just sort of a preview, I guess, of my stuff at The Mask on the 14th.
On November 14th of 2020.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so you wrap all of those things up. Is there any other, as far as music wise go, in any more ideas for 2021 or any different styles of music that you want to attempt? Because you haven't done this in 30 years. And yeah. It's a fair question, it's think, true. Because, you know, you describe yourself as a jazzy art pop type of artist, and yeah. you like to do things like in a jam style. I mean, so that tells me another is that, well, that you like to expand your music horizons, just because if you haven't done something for so long, why be pigeonholed into one style?
Right. Well, I'm actually also working with the keyboard player who plays on my release, Cesar Correa. He's actually the current resident artist at 270 Sherman Building. He's under Cesar Cordoba. He goes by different names too, depending on what he's doing. But we're working on, we do some, it's, I don't even know if you can call them songs. They're sort of artsy music and spoken word and some song project. It's called Lingua Franca.
Lingua Franca?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Any set release? Have you picked a time to release that in 2021?
We've got some stuff out on SoundCloud, but he just sent me another track to work on, so I guess we'll probably have another release of that in 2021 as well. And also, even with my Anya Mia stuff, I've got at least 5 or 6 songs, new songs for another EP ready. So. Hi there, this is Anya Mia, a.k.a. Anya Wassenberg, and you can find out more about me and my music on my website at anyawassenberg.ca. It's anyawassenberg.ca.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, Hamilton's alternative.
Welcome back to another edition of the 3 for 30. This week's guest is Alex Kozelenka, former radio student at Mohawk College. I guess I should also say graduate. He is an alumni of the school, and he's been one of these guys that got out of radio, the radio program here, and bounced around from station to station, being a proddy guy, a music lover, and then taking the reins of a writer. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you for having me, sir. It's good to be here.
You're not allowed to call me sir.
Oh, sorry.
You never called me sir at Mohawk College back in the day. You're not going to call me sir now.
All right.
Okay, so you never called me sir at my wedding, so Gunner
That's
is
true.
Fine. You know.
All right.
Yeah, sir. What a jerk. It makes me feel old when people call me sir. Okay. The respect that they'll give, I don't crap about, but it's the old thing now. Okay. So we have three songs.
We do.
And three memories, three separate artists. What are your three songs and three artists?
So my three songs are Second Go by Lights,
mm-hmm.
Festival Song by Jeff Rosenstock,
okay.
and Permanent Honeymoon by Teen Ravine.
Okay, so which artist would you like to start with?
So let's start with Second Go by Lights because it sort of chronologically makes the most sense. And I came upon Lights when I was doing a show at Mohawk College under your tutelage. And, you know, one of the things that you really, like, pushed me to do was to find artists that were sort of outside of my general scope of things.
Sure.
And yeah. Not only that, but also to sort of reach out to these people, reach out to these independent artists and say, hey, like, do you want to have a conversation? So I was doing a little bit of research. And for the most part, I lived in sort of a rock and roll universe. And I stumble upon this synthy, poppy female singer-songwriter.
Sure.
Lights. And I'm just so charmed by the music. And I found out that she was coming to town. This was 2007, I believe.
Right.
And
how old were you then?
I was maybe 20.
Yeah.
20 years old. So I called, I messaged her on MySpace because this is, once again, it's 2007.
Yeah.
I said, I slide into her MySpace DMs and just say, hey, like, I know you're coming to town. She wasn't really like anybody at that point. Do you want to come on the show with me?
Sure.
So she messages me back and says, oh, yeah, absolutely. Just get in contact with my manager to set it up. His name is John Gameshi.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Here's his email address. So I email Mr. Gameshi, the man himself.
Yeah.
This was before we knew what a dirtbag he was at the time.
Sure. Yeah.
But Lights took the time. She was just an up-and-coming artist. She didn't owe me anything, but she gave me a good amount of her time. She was very friendly to me when I saw her at the show. And it's just something that I never really forgotten, her sort of appreciation, not only for, you know, for radio, but also for her fans. And also just to see her in this, she was playing the Casbah and they had the table set up. There was like maybe a dozen people there. And now she is, you know,